I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are so excited to bring yet another amazing guest host to you today. One of the most requested things that we get from our podcast audience is more stories from people who have lived it and who are going through it at various different stages of the recovery process and the exploration process. So we are so honored to have another opportunity to bring yet another story to you. We are joined today by Jamie. So let me tell you just a little bit about Jamie, and then we'll dive in and let her tell you all about herself and her story. So Jamie's been walking the trail of holistic living for the past 25 plus years. Her journey started well before marriage and children and landed her in the realms of nutrition, food allergies, natural health care, holistic parenting, homeschooling, child development, fitness, art, entrepreneurism, and most recently, PANS. She considers herself a student of life, clearly, with all of those things that she's interested in, and a messy yet beautiful work in progress in all of these areas, and probably more to come. Over the past 3 decades, she has helped friends, acquaintances, and strangers through sharing her life experiences and wisdom gained from her extensive research and living her own holistic journey. Recently, PANS has taken over most of Jamie's time through research, management, and sometimes just surviving the day-to-day. She aspires to tell her story so that others feel more empowered to follow their path towards health and wellness. She's a mother to 2 amazing boys, now 19 and 14, and wife to a supportive husband, and considers motherhood to be the most amazing yet challenging journey of a lifetime. She lives with her family in a northwest suburb of Chicago and loves nature and all of its big and tiny wonders, gardening, sunshine, beaches, being active and strong, and always having curiosity about life. She also finds free therapy on her daily run and sometimes creating imaginative toys out of natural materials for children of all ages. Jamie, welcome. And thank you so much. Like, before we got started recording, we were just talking about how vital it is for PANS and pandas, for the people who are dealing with it, for the people who are making policies around it, for the healthcare providers who are going to see more and more and more of it, to hear stories like yours, because it's through stories that most people learn about PANS and pandas. It's through understanding what you guys go through that providers will have to step up and pay attention to understand how much help and support you guys really need. So thank you so much for your willingness to come and share your story with us.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to do this.
Jamie, I know we just heard the official about you, but I want you to tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I was in the corporate world prior to having kids, but then my firstborn was a little high maintenance. So I just decided to stay home. Thought that was just the best thing for him and our family, our growing family. So I became a mom in 2005. And like I said in the bio, that I was on my holistic journey much like long, but quite a ways before then. Pretty much in high school, I had asthma. And it wasn't serious, but it was enough that it would affect me. I was a tennis player and we had to have cardiovascular strength. And I just didn't like the way the inhalers made me feel. So I went a different route and went gluten-free. And that actually kind of cured my asthma. So it was a food allergy related. So that kind of got me into the whole realm of holistic living and kind of alternative ways of approaching health and wellness. And then I had kids and that just kind of carried over. And just my journey as a mom has just been a really comprehensive one of learning all these new different areas, extended, breastfeeding and holistic healthcare for kids just all sorts of things. Even homeschooling, I never in a million years thought I'd be a homeschooling mom. And I found myself in that realm as well. So it's just been quite a journey, motherhood always is. But really, I love everything that it has brought me and all the learning and how it's made me grow as a person. So you know, and then even the hard things and the challenges. So I'm grateful for it all, including the PANS that is obviously the most recent and the hardest, I think, that I've had to deal with.
Yeah. Well, I love that you just said that you're even grateful for the PANS, unless I misunderstood you. You know, and like, I also love that you just shared that so many of the things that have come to you in your life were not necessarily planned or expected. And that's true for all of us. Like, none of us would be here if we had followed what we thought our life would be or what we planned for our life. None of us would be talking to each other right now. So that you're talking to two people who see on the other side. Like, when you're in it, there's no real seeing the gifts of PANS, right? But on the other side, or like as you're seeing the light, you can start to see the gifts that can come from it too, right? And I'm sure we'll get there in a little bit. But before we get there, let's hear a little bit more about your story. We usually start with how PANS shows up in people's lives, but from what I understand, homeopathy is actually what showed up in your life first. So can you tell us a little bit about how you were introduced to homeopathy?
Yeah, so kind of going on that whole idea that I was, you know, open or introduced to the idea of different ways of helping my asthma in high school and beyond college, more or less, that I was kind of, you know, in that realm. And kind of once you are in that realm, it's just like you start to like see all the different things. And so I kind of started with like making, going gluten-free and then kind of doing chiropractic care. And chiropractors are kind of good about knowing, you know, other ways of healing and stuff like that. I think it was my chiropractor that got me into other areas like energy medicine and homeopathy. So it was just mostly like over the counter type stuff, like, you know, flu remedies and stuff like that. And I just saw how they instantly helped me. And so I just kind of kept it in my back pocket and didn't need much of it. And then when I had my kids, you know, from teething, you know, and taking like chamomilla for like teething pain or just restlessness and just little things like that along the way, is kind of how I just started diving into it kind of on my own, with, you know, the help of some practitioners here and there along the way. But mostly it was just kind of, you know, over the counter stuff. I could get a Whole Foods kind of stuff that I was just managing their, you know, day-to-day stuff, in terms of like mostly illness, like chronic or not chronic, acute,
like
illness.
Acute stuff.
Except for maybe teething pain, but I guess that's still acute, but yeah, I mean, that's really, it never seemed weird to me. It just always seemed like it just made sense to me, like from the get-go, and I saw it work in me. And so I was, and I knowing that there's really no side effects. I mean, I figured like, how could I not incorporate this into my toolbox things? Right. I mean, it just seems so perfect with kids and you don't want to like cause more problems for them. So, that's pretty much how I got introduced to it.
You know, it's always so interesting to me when people tell me that it just made sense to them from the get-go, because I'm just so the opposite of that, that, it just goes to show that like it doesn't even necessarily matter if it makes sense to you from the get-go or not, right? Like, for the people who it makes sense to, great, you guys are far more advanced than me. I am just like stubborn and stuck with some things, apparently. But even somebody as stubborn and as stuck as me can end up seeing how effective it is, even if it didn't, even if it took a long time for it to make sense. Yeah.
Jamie, tell us how PANS showed up for your family.
Yeah, that's a big one. So I'll start around 2020. That's sort of when it came like full force at us. It was literally like the week like everything was shut down for the pandemic. So my son just started getting very anxious, like even more so. I'll go back in a minute and kind of expand on that, but he just started getting even more anxious. Then he had this nausea thing and heart palpitation thing and just like all these things and stuff. So I thought, he's just a very sensitive kid. He always kind of has been, and very in tune with sort of the world. And so being into energy medicine a little bit, I understood that sometimes kids take on the energy of what's going on around them. So I thought, okay, it's the pandemic. Like, this is a huge global like energy thing. Like, it's affecting him. So I thought it was just that. And then it very clearly was apparent that it just was more than that, because it just wasn't going away. It was just getting worse and worse and worse. All of his symptoms started compounding. But now that I have the benefit of hindsight, I see that it actually started. So he was 8 in 2020. No, he was 9 in 2020 when it really like reared the ugliest head it had. And I feel like leading up there, the 2 years prior to that, there was pretty major things going on. Like his separation anxiety around age 7 was kind of off the charts. I mean, he like was like upset about, if I had to leave, and he wanted to know where I was going to go and what time I was going to be home and like all these things, and like know everything around that. And he would let me leave the house without too much fuss. And then I had the opportunity to go on a last minute concert with my sister and her family. And like the fact that it was last minute was too much for him, and he was like full out rage. And that was like a first like really bad like rage episode. So that was probably when he was 8 in 2019. And then even before then, like I'd say in his toddler years, he had these really odd sort of tantrums. When he like would wake up from a nap or something, he would just go these all out like rages. And I thought, it's just not his brain being online, he's kind of groggy, he's waking up. So it's like you think as a parent, like these are just phases, like you're gonna get through it, or it's like something you need to change with your parenting, or something that is affecting him from the outside world. And so I just really thought these were all just phases, developmental things, until 2020, when all these physical things started happening, and everything just started to compound. Like his separation anxiety got so bad, I couldn't leave the house, and if I tried, he would do things to himself to stop me, or try to do things to me to harm me to stop me. I mean, it just got really bad. And then from there, it was just he running away from home, trying to like, is this the escapism, I guess people call it that. And then the nausea and air hunger got really bad, and he just couldn't deal with that. And so he started self-harming, and then the OCD and tics just were off the charts after that. And so it just got to be this huge, messy ball of yarn that I was like, what is this thing? And honestly, I did not know what it was for so long. And I wish I knew what it was. I knew what to call it. I thought it was all these separate things. I thought it was he had behavior problems, and he had OCD, and he had, I had maybe some bad parenting that I needed to change to help him through his behavior things. And I wish I knew it was all one thing. And that's my biggest reason for sharing, is because I want people to understand that PANS is this thing that is, there aren't these silos, they're all related, and it's all can be one thing. So yeah, and I didn't really realize what it was. It was called PANS until we had moved from our then home to a new home that we're in now. And I somehow got connected into talking to a nurse practitioner down in Texas about mold poisoning. And it's like one of those scenes from a movie where like all the scenes started making sense and flashing in front of me, and I just started to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And I thought, okay, it's mold. But then I went on to a Facebook, because Facebook has tons of information. So as a mom, I went on Facebook mold group. And so I started these mold groups, and then PANS came up, and all these people talking about PANS and resilience naturopathic. And I was like, okay, I think this is what he has. And so sure enough, I went to like a PANS website, and I saw that he had basically all 7 comorbidities of PANS. All he was in all those categories. So that's kind of, so since 2022, I knew he had PANS. But before then, it was kind of, I think, building up.
You just dealt with it for 2 years,
Two
not
very,
knowing.
yeah, two, and that those were the worst years, not only because the symptoms were so bad, but because I had no idea the beast I was fighting. That was, and I was doing it alone, because part of his thing was he didn't want to go see any practitioners. He had no trust in anybody. He didn't even trust me. I mean, he thought I was poisoning him with his food. I mean, he didn't want to see any doctors. He couldn't leave the house. He couldn't ride in a car. He was homebound to his bed. I mean, it was just like I was totally alone, and I couldn't figure it out. And it was just all this researching and trying to figure out in these silos what was going on. And I don't know, I guess I never figured out, or never thought to put them all together into one thing.
Right. I mean, that's one of the challenges that we deal with in medicine, especially in like the conventional medical realm, people get like so expertise, so like such a level of expertise on one system that we fail to see the places that all of these systems overlap. It's all inside one body. It's all happening in one body. It's not like a separate pump or a separate electrical system or a separate motor or whatever. They're all connected and they're all tied. And I can't tell you how many people have had the same story that you shared, including the highly sensitive component and like just the knowing that your child is sensitive and like the timing. Oh my gosh, like that's the worst possible timing for things to, it's like best and worst timing, right?
Yes,
Like you
I
had the advantage of like the world was shutting down. I remember very clearly we were already, I already had like a PANS focused practice, and there was so many people who were celebrating the pandemic because people finally understood what PANS families went through with like everything being shut down, not being able to go out and do anything, feeling afraid of germs, feeling afraid of everything, and like not being able to have kids go to school, all that stuff. Like finally people understand. So you had a little bit of a blessing that like you didn't have to, like the world was shutting down as your family needed to shut down. But it's like hard to figure out too, right? Because there was so much going on. So, if anybody resonates with that highly sensitive component, we do have an episode that we'll put a link to in the show notes about highly sensitive people with Dr. Karen Lamb. Really great episode. I don't know if you've listened to it, Jamie, but it's she's really like got some fantastic expertise in that, and I think it's relevant for so many people who deal with PANS and PANDAS. So I'm curious, with this coming into your world, once you finally figured out that it was PANS and PANDAS, and maybe even before. With all the experience that you've had in holistic health and homeopathy in particular, once you figured out that it was PANS, did you focus just on homeopathy or were you doing other stuff?
So, I did try to treat his symptoms on my own with remedies. You know, I was trying to help, like he had horrible sleep schedule, so I was trying to like help with the sleep aspect and then the OCD, and I was getting nowhere. And I don't know if I was making him worse. I probably was, but he was already so bad. I have no idea the effects that was having. But once I figured it out, I was already in contact with another holistic doctor in California. You probably know who he is, but he runs Holistic Kids practice. So I was already kind of trying to figure out like the like treating it from like a mold perspective. Once I found out it was PANS, and I saw Resilience Naturopathic that was dedicated to that, I was like, the heavens had opened up and like gave me a gift right here in my lap. And I was like, I am taking this and I'm running with it and I'm not looking back, because like this is what I've been trying to do by myself, and I don't want to do it by myself anymore, and I can't do it by myself anymore. And thank God there's something out there that is exactly what I'm looking for. So I was just so grateful. I didn't want to do anything else, and I was exhausted. I couldn't do anything else. Like I just too tired.
So is it that exhaustion that made you take that leap, or was it something else that made you go from man trying to manage it on your own to something that you recognized you needed some professional support for?
It was the exhaustion and just the deep knowing that it was just too big for me. It was just too big. I have done so much on my own, and I just knew I needed help with this, and I wanted help. And it was, I'm a very, some would say, toxically independent person. Like I like to do things on my own. I like to control things. Maybe more of a type A personality. But with this, I was just too exhausted, and it was just too big of a beast. I didn't want to mess it up. I didn't want to waste any more time. I just felt like if I didn't go in this direction immediately, then I was just going to be wasting time.
You know, you're not alone. There's lots of people that we've seen at Resilience who have started trying to manage things on their own because, you know, homeopathy is something that anybody can use, anybody can buy. You can look stuff up online. And, you know, even and now with AI, you can like type in what you got going, what you were dealing with, and like, how do I, what's a good remedy for this, or what's a good remedy for that, or whatever. But when it comes to complex chronic illness, it is a beast. And the things like homeopathy, like for acute stuff and like what you can find online, yeah, that's pretty easy. And those are things that are time limited. They're going to resolve on their own. Homeopathy can help you like make it go a little bit faster, but PANS is not something that's going to resolve on its own. And having somebody with like expertise and understanding how to navigate it ends up becoming vital for basically everybody. I mean, maybe some people are like get lucky, or have enough understanding of homeopathy and they luck on a remedy that helps pretty deeply. But then we also see people who have that experience and then they come to us because they get so far and then things go backwards and like, now what? Now what do we do? And like what you said before, like you started off early on saying, okay, there's no side effects. And then you're like, but did I make him worse? And like, so is there, like, that's the question, right? Like technically, yes, there's no side effects with homeopathy because it's not biochemically forcing anything in your body, like medication, supplements, et cetera. But there are complications that can come from homeopathy and not necessarily making things worse. So in some rare circumstances that can happen, but there's also like just creating more complexity and like maybe palliating things here or there, shifting the body just enough, but then the body's like, wait, what's going on? I'm so confused. There's so many things happening all at once. So you are not alone. And I appreciate you sharing that you started and what led you to make that leap to get some support.
Jamie, you have two kids still in the thick of it. Let's talk about that, what it's like managing two of them, all of the things.
Yeah, well, thankfully my oldest never showed any signs of PANS. I mean, his complications were more just like leaky gut kind of stuff, and that's, we resolved that pretty early in life, but he, suffered a lot. When my son was at his worst. I mean, first of all, I just have my two kids and they're best friends. We're always together. We've homeschooled since the start of their education. So it's like they're not just brothers, they're best friends. And so from his perspective, and it makes me a little emotional thinking about it, but like him seeing his best friend just, he doesn't even know who he is anymore. He's turning against him, he's turning against his, me. It's just, it was horrible for him to go through. And on top of the pandemic, I mean, it was just like layer upon layer upon layer for him. So once I got my son into the practice, I got my oldest son in right away because he dealt with some, depression and other deeper things as well. So I wanted to make sure that he was okay, and I knew homeopathy was going to help him with those things. So it's really a tool that, I'm like I said, my two kids are obviously doing it, and then my husband and I are going to join in hopefully this year. So, it's just a matter of like mostly day-to-day stuff, how we manage right now. My oldest is 19, so he's somewhat on his own, still living here though. And with my youngest, it's still, we're just still in the thick of it. It's just managing him and his symptoms and trying to, I don't know, it's hard because he's 14, right? And so hormones are coming into play. And also he's had these coping mechanisms for so long with all these symptoms he's had. I don't know if these are still things he needs to do or if they're just habits now. So it's like, it's just messy, trying to figure all that out. Like, do I need to parent harder? Is it just he really does feel this bad, so he still needs to use his iPad all the time to cope and not feel all the things he feels? So that's the hard part right now, is just trying to manage all of that right now, for lack of a better. I don't know if I explained that well, but it's just messy, kind of.
So I wanted to just point out what you said or call attention for anybody who might have like pinged on the basically the trauma that you were describing that your is it your older son was feeling? Yeah, so your older son was like losing his best friend. There we have a couple of great episodes for anybody who's brand new. Also with Dr. Karen Lamb. Apparently, like we're just gonna sing her praises for everything today.
Great.
She's amazing, right? Like she is, I feel like I'm so grateful that I brought her to the Pans and Pandas community because she's just so talented and just got such a gift. And even without necessarily like being like a Pans person, like she gets it, right? Anyway, we'll put links to the episodes. There's a 3-episode series about trauma that I think is really useful for kids who are dealing with this and for the kids who are like are losing their family members or losing their best friends in dealing with this. I just want to make sure that anybody who might be new to us goes and checks those out. We'll put links in the show notes.
Yeah, she was great. And I think what I'm struggling with now is that I actually have a therapist lined up that is like 2 miles away from our house. She specializes in PANS. She gets it, but my kids are resistant to go. At least my Cohen, my PANS child, he's totally resistant to go. And so having to deal with his trauma, but not having his buy-in to go has been a challenge, and I just want to put it out there because like it seems to me that like kids want to have therapy and they want to go talk to people, but like I'm struggling in that realm. I'll be perfectly honest. Like I'm doing everything I can to gently nudge and to like, sing the praises and destigmatize it or whatever. And there's just no budging there. So I know a lot of people have trouble finding a good therapist. I have one in the waiting, in the wings, and I just can't get my child there. So
Yeah.
that is my plan to deal with that trauma eventually, hopefully. But
And it is important. Somebody has to be ready. Like you can't deal with something that you're not ready to deal with, especially from a therapy perspective, because it's work and it does take work.
yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier you had touched on symptoms just a little bit. Are you comfortable sharing more about his symptoms?
Yeah, totally. Because I think unless you share like what it looks like, people
Yeah.
just don't have any idea, and how bad it can really be. Yeah, ironically, I have a friend who was going through actually the same thing unknowingly. We were kind of on the same pathway. She's now with the practice too, by the way. And we had each other during this whole time. And so we would just call each other up and say, I can't believe my child's doing this. And so we had each other and we would believe each other. But like anybody else you tried to tell who was going through this, they would just kind of look at you like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Like I'm the problem, right?
Yep.
So it started with separation anxiety was his first, I think, tried and true symptom. And it was just, it kind of ramped up. He was not, I don't believe, I can't see it, at least in hindsight, an overnight case, where he just flipped a switch and it was an acute situation, or is that what it is? Like a overnight kind of switch thing. And I think you
The sudden
said,
onset.
yeah, sudden onset. I think you said like only half of the cases are like that anyway around.
Yeah, actually 40%. I'm actually, as we're recording this, I'm writing an article for our website. So by the time this is actually live, you can go to our website to see it. But I'm writing an article about this exact thing that, like, the sudden behavior change and how we have so many kids who are missed because of this requirement for sudden behavior change in the diagnostic criteria. But there was a study from the Stanford PANS Clinic that found that of all of their patients in this study that they did, or like that they reviewed, of all of the patients who had met the criteria for PANS, only 40% of them had a clear sudden onset. And I've got all of my thoughts on some of the reasons that that can be the case and like where it gets missed and like what sort of things contribute to that. I've got that in the article. So if you want to head over to our website, we'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. Yeah, because I mean, it definitely wasn't sudden onset, which is why I think I might have. So I'd heard of pandas like years and years ago. I didn't know about PANS and I didn't know they were like PANS was the umbrella over pandas. So I was like, well, he's never had strep, so it can't be this thing. So that's
Right.
kind of why like I didn't really make that connection earlier. So symptom wise, he started with separation anxiety. And that's just sort of got worse over time, until it became to the point where I couldn't leave the house without all, heck breaking loose. And then it morphed. He was always very particular. So I think he is more of a type A and just very particular, but then it just blew up into like being obsessively particular, about how you touch things and how you prepare food. And like it just got to be very particular about things. And if you said things the wrong way or in the wrong tone, it would trigger him into like anger and rage, really easily. So it was like walking on eggshells for years around him, and that was really hard. So for all the parents out there walking on eggshells, oh my gosh, I am so sorry, and it's so hard. Because the last thing you want to do is trigger your child and have to deal with the rage. I mean, it's just so exhausting as it is. And then you have to like deal with it. You're just trying to avoid, avoid, avoid. And then he started to get these like sort of bodily sensations. So air hunger, a lot of nausea, but no vomiting. So just straight up nausea and mostly around food would trigger the nausea. And I should mention at the time we were living in a very mold infested home and we didn't know this. So that was mostly I think why it started to really come at us in our face
Yeah.
around age 9 for him.
Which is one of the reasons that I point out in the article that we have people not have a sudden onset or a clear sudden onset is when it's like environmental, that it can be insidious and you're not going to see like there was a one thing that like is a drastic change from the norm that is clearly related to the onset. So, yeah.
Yes,
And really
yes.
quickly, just want to make sure that we're for anybody who's listening, air hunger is a common term in the PANS PANDAS community. If you're new to the PANS PANDAS community, what most people describe as air hunger is like just feeling like you can't get enough air in, like it won't go down far enough, like you have to keep taking big breaths, even though you're breathing. And I'm feeling it right now because
No,
whenever I
I'm like
talk about
wanting
it, I
to do
feel
it.
it, right? Where like you feel like even though you're breathing, you can't get it in, enough in, it won't go down or like it won't get to the right places, kind of things. So you have to keep taking these big, 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 big breaths because it feels like it just isn't working. Right. Keep going.
So he had sort of like the nausea and some headache issues, and those just got to be so bad for him. Like it was just a constant thing, and I think that's just really threw him into this whole like any sort of movement, like even walking would trigger him to feel nauseous. So I mean, at one point it got so bad he had to just crawl to the bathroom. And he would only use the bathroom once a day because any more than that, just moving around would like make him feel so sick. I don't even know how he could hold his, urine or whatever, just and do what he would literally only go to the bathroom once in 24 hours. And then the rage was getting progressively worse. So it's like the worse he felt, the worse the rage got. And then his sleep was totally flip-flopped. I mean, it slowly progressed from like his bedtime of like, maybe like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then midnight, and then 2 a.m., and then 4 a.m. And then there was a solid like 6 months where he wasn't going to sleep until the sun was rising. We had to put a blanket over the window to help him fall asleep. So this flip-flop sleep schedule was another symptom. And then the OCD got super bad. I mean, it just got so bad. He would, have to brush his teeth for 3 hours. I mean, and that's not an exaggeration, unfortunately. And that was, and flipping light switches up and down constantly, and having to have everything a certain way. So that was probably the next thing to come on board. I'm trying to think. Then tics eventually came. Actually, they didn't come until we moved to the clean house that we live in now, which is kind of, I think, not quite as common. But then again, I don't really know. But so the ticks started to come a little bit later. And I'm probably forgetting some big ones, but those are the sort of the main ones we've been dealing with. I mean, he's got like, some skin issues, some dermatitis going on, and I don't know what's what anymore. Like I'm pretty sure he has MCAS as well. So it's kind of, that messy picture of I don't know what's what right now.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, at least now all of his severe PANS related things that are PANS, like the OCD and the rage, those are, I mean, they're gone. I mean, I the OCD for the mo well, he still kind of deals with some particularness, but I mean, for the most part, it's not life altering.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's, still sensitive to moving in cars, so we can't go places often. And he doesn't really like, eating dinner out of the house. And so our life is still really affected by, his symptoms that are lingering. And, in terms of cognitive abilities, he wasn't able to do school for like 3 years. Like we
Yeah.
just pretty much nothing. And as a homeschooler, I was kind of okay with that because I mean he had access to other things and he was still learning things, and ironically, even though he wasn't learning like, the 3 R's, he learned to crochet and he was learning about wild foraging. And so he was learning about stuff that he wanted to learn about, but just not in the modality that we're used to learning taking place. So we're now thankfully he's at a place where he can catch up a little bit on the academic stuff. But yeah, I think those were the big ones.
Yeah.
I want to talk about two different things you said. First, just a second ago, you said MCAS. And for anybody who doesn't know what MCAS is, it's just mast cell activation disorder. And it's just kind of immune system craziness and can cause a whole lot of things. We've got a really good episode with Dr. Jason Way that we did on MCAS. I don't remember what the number episode was, but it's there if you want to learn more.
And we can put a link in the show notes for that too.
Oh, okay, cool. And then also too, I appreciate that you said that he had tics and they sort of showed up later, and that doesn't happen for a lot of people. I actually think that's just something we don't talk about so much, because I don't, like, for me, it was really surprising to me that disease progression could still happen. Like, we moved out of mold, and also there was some crazy stuff that showed up after that. We started homeopathy and there were still things kind of rolling, and it's really hard to wrap your brain around the fact that, you know, homeopathy isn't going to completely stop everything from progressing, and moving out of mold isn't going to stop everything from progressing. But then again, we're having these symptoms show up and it's like, wait, no, like, we're supposed to be getting better, not having something else show up. But in homeopathy, it's, you know, the opportunity for our provider to kind of see that symptom and really kind of fold it into what the big healing picture that they're working on. So I just think that's a thing that we don't talk about as much. And I think it's a really good thing to say out loud, because it happens sometimes. I see moms like, oh my gosh, what's happening? This shouldn't be happening. And it can.
Yeah, no, it's more common than you would think, because, you know, if you think about just the way that illness progresses anyway, like, you know, things don't show up all together at the same time, even if they're connected. You know, like, we think about the triad with asthma, atopic dermatitis, and allergies. So it's usually like eczema first, then allergies, like broader allergies, and then asthma shows up. It's the same thing that's contributing. You know, it's why, like, it's just like a continued progression. And we want to, it would be great if homeopathy was like a force field that this minute you start it, like, boom, everything is stopped. Nothing else could possibly come about. Right. And like, that's where people start. Like, I think that there's like some belief, like, we're supposed to be treating this, that shouldn't be having anything new come on. The reality is, especially for people who aren't using homeopathy, there's been some trends that I've seen reported in the literature and from like different conferences, especially like more of like the conventionally focused conferences on PANS and PANDAS, that there's like a huge number of kids with PANS who are going on to get secondary autoimmune conditions, like a huge explosion of like type 2 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, all of these other autoimmune conditions. Because if you have a susceptibility to one, you have a susceptibility to more. We don't see that as much with our kids who are recovering with homeopathy, but we do see some, and we see like the continued progression of some things in order, in some ways, for the body to tell us the totality of their susceptibility so we can address it, right? And so we can actually make sure that all of the things that they could have a chance of getting, we can have the opportunity to address. So it's not something to panic about. And it sounds like you have not panicked to see things sort of evolve over time. And it sounds like you're also, you know, not healed by any stretch of the imagination, but things are a lot better.
Yes. I mean, we're able to do, you know, we're able to have some level of normalcy. You know, I'm not in like walking on eggshells anymore. We're not, you know, I'm able to leave the house. I'm able to, you know, I mean, gosh, all the things that I used to take for granted, I can now, you know, breathe a little bit easier and just not worry so much about him and keep a, you know, have to check on him 5,000 times at night because I'm worried if he's going to do something to himself. You know, I mean, those things, when you don't have them in your life anymore, feels like a whole new world. It really does.
Yeah. Earlier you were talking about your older son and kind of his experience in this. And I was just thinking kind of about the family experience as a whole. And then even earlier you were talking about, you said, I wish would have known. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, there's a lot of mom guilt in this. And there's just this whole family dynamic that happens in the background that you're also managing as well. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, mom guilt. Yeah. I don't think I've gotten rid of all of mine yet. I still think there's part of me that, thinks there's something I could have done. Especially when I tried to do everything, you know, right, in terms of reduces toxic load and home birth and like all the things that I pour my heart and soul in. So, yeah, the mom guilt is still taking, you know, effect here and there, especially, when I just feel like we're stuck, you know, and I'm not seeing progress, or, he's having a particularly bad day or bad week. It's that part is hard to not get down on yourself. It's also, I think we now as a family have an understanding that his healing is like a roller coaster. It's cyclical. So we're going to see, two, three, four steps forward, and we're going to go back a little bit. It's just waxing and waning. And eventually, we're going to get to the finish line. It's just not a straight line. So it's just a matter of, keeping lines of communication open. I'm constantly checking in with both my older son and my 14-year-old Pan's child, just making sure that they're feeling heard and they're feeling seen. And then my husband has just been, I couldn't have asked for a better partner in this whole thing. I mean, honestly, there were nights that I was just utterly falling apart. Like I couldn't even pick myself up off the floor. I was just in a puddle of tears, not wanting to like go on with life. I mean, it was just like it got so bad and so hard. And he was just my rock and just always saying, it's not gonna always be like this. It's, there's brighter days. That he'd always just come in and just reassure me that basically what you say, Dr. Barr, this isn't forever. And when you're in it and you're feeling the weight of the responsibility as the mom, because let's face it, moms are the ones trying to figure this out, right? My husband's job was to go out and make the money so I could come back and help the kids in the ways they need helped, the ways they need to be helped. So it just was an enormous weight. And so he would help take that off as much as he could. Like I couldn't really leave the house, but he would, just help me in the ways that he could with foot rubs or, let me just literally cry in his arms, and he was never comfortable with me crying, but now he is. The dynamic has changed in our family for the better, and it's not great yet, but it's better. Like we've been able to get through these really hard things and understand each other in a different level that we never would have been able to do before. We would still have certain walls up and, even my oldest, who's not a touchy-feely person, he just looks at me sometimes and goes, Mama, do you need a hug? And I was like, and just to melt into your 19-year-old's arms who's bigger than you, there's just nothing like that. And that, I don't think that would have happened had we not been through this emotional, upheaval as a family.
So it sounds like those are some of the gifts that you were talking about earlier that Pants has brought to you, even though you're like smack dab in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, and it's, I think that's what I try to focus on now is what is the good? There is good in the challenges, So when I'm really feeling like I can't take it anymore, I just focus on would I rather be where we are now with our family and our understanding and the love between us versus where we were then. And I believe that Pan saved my marriage. I mean, my husband and I were not on great terms. It was like two ships passing in the night. And this just forced us to just come together. I mean, it was literally a make or break thing, I think. It was either forced us to come together or it would have torn us apart. And it was the coming together. So, I'd much rather be here, even with the hardships and the day-to-day struggles, than where we were.
We've heard that from a lot of families that, that goes either way, right? And I'm glad that for your family, it was a bringing together. I also just want to say, for what you said earlier, and that, like, I'm sure again, some mom out there, some dad picked up on it. Like, you tried to do everything right. Like, you did, quote unquote, everything right. You took care, like, all of the holistic, natural everything, and you still had this happen. And that's the reality with, like, the thousands of kids that we have seen at Resilience Naturopathic. We've seen lots and lots of kids that have, like, had the crunchiest upbringing, like, all, like, you name it. And they get PANS. And then there are so many kids that I see all the time out in the world who are raised on Cheetos and gummy worms, and that's all mom could eat when she was pregnant, and they don't get it. So it's not something that anybody does. It's about just like susceptibility and chance in some cases. And there's other things that go on that contribute, but like seriously, so many people who've done everything quote unquote right, the crunchiest life you can imagine, I could never sustain and still end up having PANS.
Yeah, and I do try to get that message out too. Like it's really nothing that you can or can do to prevent this. And I do talk a lot about susceptibility, you. And I it's like it really does put things into perspective.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. I don't think there's anything you can do to prevent it. It just
No.
is.
Yeah. So you guys are right smack dab in the messy middle right now. I know you said your older son's getting better. Talk to me about managing your younger son and even yourself through the messy middle. How was all that going?
Yeah, that's just, it's still, we're still, I think, a day-to-day kind of place. Just making sure that he's older now. He's 14, and he's now able to really articulate how the remedies make him feel. So that's helpful. And I check in, especially if we've changed the dose, like, tell me if this makes you feel, how this makes you feel, if XYZ is better or worse, more intense. So he's able to just communicate more, and that's really helpful when you have an older child. And so he participates a lot more, and that's helpful. And it's just a matter of, like I said before, trying to figure out if it's the pans showing up or if it's sort of just the teenagerdom showing up, and just doing the best I can. And the way I help myself is I run every day, and I clear my head through that every day. That actually started when he was at his worst, and I wasn't leaving the house at all. So I would just go out for these 20-minute runs while he was sleeping, and I called them my freedom runs, because
Yeah.
it feel like I was just able to escape it for a while. And now the runs for me are more of a place of peace and calm and grounding. So it's just been that's been a gift for myself. And now that I can't leave the house, I try to connect with friends when I can, go out with my husband, just little things that I, when I couldn't do them, I wanted to do so badly. So I do them when I can now.
Yeah.
And I do talk about this probably too much. Honestly, I feel like everybody I meet or talk to, like I met up with some people from my junior high like a couple weekends ago, and it all came out, And so I'm constantly trying to tell people about it and hopes that they can either help their children or help a friend in their family. So I feel like the more I can talk about it, that's sort of makes me feel like I'm, this isn't all for naught, like I can get information out there, and so it'll help someone at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's messy now in the middle. I don't know what percent we are healed. I don't know how much longer we have. And that's just, these are the little things I try to do to kind of just get us through, so that
Yeah.
we break down in the middle.
It sounds like what you're doing that helps keep you here is that you're staying here, right? Like you're not trying to get a countdown for when this is going to be done and hold, like having something that you're like holding on to a certain day or certain amount of time or anything like that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I try. I mean, it does get hard when people are like my nephew's getting married in a little bit, and we want to make plans to go to Virginia to, it's like I want to be able to make plans.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is just still too hard to do. And so,
Yeah.
stuff like that is, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely challenging when there's things that are happening in life that you're not sure that you can say yes to. What I'm thinking about more is like, I'm just it, I'm it's coming to mind the lessons from Admiral Stockdale, who was a prisoner of war. And I think it was it Vietnam or Korean War? I don't remember which one. But he found that he's a practitioner like Stoicism, and he found that the people who we're focused on like we're going to get out of here by Christmas, we're going to get out of here by Easter, we're going to get out of here by this day, and like having a day that they expected this to be done, to expect it to be released, the more times it came and went that they weren't released, the worse those people did, and those ended up being the people who sometimes didn't survive, but the people who were just like, here's where we are. And we're gonna keep working at this, and we're gonna stay hopeful, and we're gonna know that eventually we will get out of here, but we don't ha know exactly when. But this is just what is now. That they had a lot more resilience and ability to like actually see it through to the end, and that's what was called to mind with what you were saying. It sounds like that's where you are. I don't know how long we've got this. I know that there's good days and bad days, harder days, and easier days. And yes, there are things that we want to be able to commit to that we might miss. And there's also things that we used to take for granted that we don't anymore. So you've got little joys along the way. Yes, there might still be some like big celebrations that you might not be able to participate in. I hope honestly that you guys get to participate in all of them. And I see a sense of like peace and acceptance, is what I'm seeing from you.
Yes, and this surrender and the acceptance is so necessary. As hard as it is, I think that's one of the hardest things that parents teach you is surrender and acceptance. Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that because it's big.
All right, so far, what's been your favorite thing about homeopathy? And on the flip side, what's been the hardest thing about homeopathy?
Favorite thing is it works. Flat out works. I mean, it just works. And maybe my not favorite thing is that, I don't know how long it's going to take to work. I don't know the time because I'm a, I wouldn't say control freak, but I like to know what's coming at me. I'm kind of like, I like to see what's ahead. And, so that's hard to, not know how long it's going to take. And also that I can't see what's going on underneath. I don't know. And also it's like so much of what my son is experiencing in terms of his pants and symptoms are physical things that he feels. And so having a sense of what, like how intense that is, or how, those, that kind of thing, that's hard, in terms of managing that from a homeopathy perspective to know if it's like the remedy needs to, and I know that's the provider's job to do that, but I guess communicating that, that's hard as well. But I mean, yeah, I love homeopathy because it works, and I love it that, that there's experts that I can just rely on because I'm not, and I kind of want to be, but I know I'm not. Maybe that'll be my calling one day, who knows? But it's just such a wonderful modality, and I will always have it in my life, and I'm hopeful that it will always be in my children's life and their children. And so I'm hoping it just gets passed down.
Well, on that note, I'm curious what advice you might offer to parents who, like yourself, are already familiar with homeopathy, but seeing complex issues like PANS show up or other things too, like any complex thing.
Yeah, so if you're like me and you know, like, oh, homeopathy, I got this. No. I hate to say it, but no, you don't. Just don't. Just don't do it to yourself. Like, take on that responsibility and just don't wait, because the longer you wait to try to figure it out without the knowledge and the experience and the exposure to several hundred thousand whatever cases, it's just the longer it's going to take to get through this. So don't wait. Get in with a provider that is familiar with PANS and let them take the steering wheel. It's going to be such a burden off of you. It's going to be just this huge sigh of relief, and like this, you can finally like relax for once in a very long time, most likely. Because I mean, let's face it, we deal with so much trying to just manage day to day and these symptoms, and being able to lean on somebody who has expertise in this is just totally invaluable. And like I said, once I found out that you guys existed, I was like on board in a second, and I just wanted to release that, to give it to somebody else. So that's, yeah, and that's, I guess, my biggest piece of advice, because had I known earlier, I would have gotten in earlier.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us. It was lovely seeing the beginning of your advocating. Or I know you're already doing a whole bunch of advocating, just talking with folks, but lovely to see the beginning of your advocating journey. And I have no doubt that stories exactly like your families are what's making a difference. It's what's changing things. And we see it at Resilience all the time. People are learning about PANS and homeopathy a whole lot earlier. And it's no doubt from the stories that families are willing to share. So thank you for being willing to share your family's journey with us. And we will, I'm going to add another note. I got on Instagram and I was looking at your little toys that you make. They're super, super cute. They're great little kids' toys. Those are so sweet. So maybe we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I think you're open for people to reach out to you and contact with you or connect with you. So we'll put all of her contact information in our show notes. So if anybody wants to connect with Jamie or see these. I have to go look now. I haven't looked at them yet. I need
You'll
to go
like
see
them.
Your toys. So,
well, thank you for creating this platform for me to share my story and for just educating everybody. It's been invaluable to me. I'm a, you know, staunch subscriber. I watch every episode, and it's just been invaluable education. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. So thank you.
Well, we are so honored to have you and so grateful for your willingness to come and share. And Jamie, I got to tell you, I would love to have you back when you have reached that finish line so you can give us some updates and let us know how things have gone in from the messy middle to recovery. So please stay in touch with us so that we can get an update from you in the future. Hopefully not too far from now.
Yes, absolutely. But whenever that is, I will be letting you know and ready to come on.
Fantastic. We will be excited to have you back. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.